Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Holson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Good to be back with you. I was in absence last week. I was down in Miami, but...
Fired.
Yeah.
We decided.
We got to talk about that. Yeah.
And we decided to tell you over the air.
Yeah, perfect. That's great. You guys are the best ever. Well, tell you what, we got a full show coming up. We got a little story coming out of Norway. They're giving some money for salmon that got accidentally released. So that and a ton more. Hang tight. More Valley Outdoors coming right up.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Good to see you, Don.
Yeah, it's good to be seen, and as always.
Ava?
You know what? I still stand by the fact that you're fired. So.
I am the weakest link.
No, well, you know, it's been a little chilly in this part of the world, you know, and where is he?
Oh, yeah, and that picture he sent us, I was like, yeah, rough day. Haven't left the water all day. Poor Eric Olson.
Now, wait. Hold on a darn minute.
I'm looking for the picture.
I'm gone 1 day.
The most important day of the week.
No, stop. Once. And Don is not here how many times?
Well, he's look way up. More. Ava? He is way more important than you and I.
How many?
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
What do they send you? Let me see the pic.
Huh? There's like a...
Oh, the panorama pic.
It's like a blue lagoon.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, there was a cloud in the sky.
Yeah, very, very little. Very, way off very,
so we felt real bad for
on
you.
The way horizon. Off to the west.
Yeah.
Well, the...
Nice looking boat, by the way.
So, Miami Boat Show did not disappoint. The number of huge boats out there is crazy. You know, you're looking at...
How much do they cost? Like, what was... One of the most expensive ones out there. Like a million? More than a million?
What? Million?
Like what? I don't know how much these boats million? Cost. 20 million?
Yeah, or more.
Or more.
Oh, my goodness.
But you have to realize, though.
Boats
or yachts. So perspective. So you have to look at, okay, a fishing boat,
versus
quote-unquote center console, which is extremely popular. Right? Mm-hmm. That's one of the big deals down there.
Like, what's the average size? Like 28 foot?
I'd say
30.
28 to 30
yeah.
in there.
And, what do they run now? 200? With a couple of big ponies on the back?
200?
Well, I mean, the only reason I say that, when I was in Costa Rica, the outfitter had just gotten like 10 of them floated down there from Miami.
Yeah,
For 100 at that time.
They're about... one of them we had, it had triples, but that's okay. It was 36, and that was 700,000.
700,000?
Mm-hmm.
For a 28-foot single or center console?
36-foot.
Oh, 36-foot. Yeah, these are all 28s.
Yeah. So you're looking at 250 to 350. If you're looking at a 36-foot with twin 425s used, you can get one for about 4.25.
Yeah, well, the price of tuna is going up, evidently.
Yeah, well, so this is the reason I bring it up.
My goodness. Your
point is well taken, but you have such a broad spectrum, and this is the part that blew me away. Now, Hydrocraft Boat Company is one of the, it's taken on an evolution. It used to be, Hydrocraft was, it was okay. And then they took the brand and made it upper echelon. They changed the thought process, and they have big stuff. Yep. Smaller and bigger stuff.
Yeah.
They've got, it's called an Australia, EST, Australia,
yep,
with 5 600 horsepower engines on it. It is a center console done, 55 feet long, 3,000 horsepower. It has a full screen where the bait, so you imagine a center console, right?
Yep, yep,
so you have two rows of seats so you can sit six people.
Okay.
Underneath the tower, behind the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a bait station that's behind that, so you've got a big sink. You've got cutting table and everything. Plus, you have full screens of sonar and GPS
right,
while you're cleaning the bait. And underneath the front, you go in, you've got an aft cabin and a full king-size bed front, and I think you have 4 aft cabin bunks, plus 2 bathrooms, front and back.
Sure.
Or, excuse me, heads, front and back.
Right.
So
you could live on one of these boats.
That's, I mean, it comes down to one of those boats that you look at and you go, no. So if you look up HCB...
Wonder how many gallons per mile they use. 3,000 horse?
Oh, the new one. Yeah, okay. So the new one is 65 feet long. There it is. 1, 2, 3. It has 6, Don.
Can you show that to our listeners?
Yeah. No, I just, I wanted you to see it to get your reaction.
No, I see it.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm not sure. Out? I mean, I'm not sure what the purpose of a boat like that is. I mean, it's not necessarily sport fishing.
Well, it's sport of some kind.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They don't have all the actors on that one.
That one? 3 mil.
3 mil.
Yeah.
Okay.
3 million. That's one of the reasons I wanted to look it up. But, again, the whole point is it's really taken on a whole different thing. As far as the industry, as far as fishing, as far as everybody wants to go farther, they're going to go who knows where and go catch fish. And granted, that way you can have a full crew. Yeah. You can bring a bunch of people with you, but turn it into a vacation.
When I was in the Bahamas, and we were fishing off a 45-foot, and we were in the marina, and at the end of the dock, because they couldn't put him in a slip, came Tommy Hilfiger's little boat. I think it was 220 feet long.
Yachted.
Oh yeah. Well, it actually
yachted.
It looked more. It looked more like a military ship.
Oh, the designs they have are just crazy.
Yeah.
They've got some very different looks to them, which are really cool.
That's what makes it fun, though.
Oh yeah.
Tell you what, we're gonna be right back. We're gonna talk a little bit about the Norwegian company that's offering money if you want to go catch some fish. Stay tuned. More coming right up. Welcome back, everybody. And we always like to have you check out our interactive website on, where's that, Don?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
I almost caught him on that one. Ava, where else
he had
are
to
we?
Think about it. Facebook, we're there,
right,
too.
Like us, please, as always. So check those two things out, and as your vacations are coming up, dial it in to see where you want to go. Good call. Sportsman Show coming up in the end of March.
Which one?
Northwest.
Oh, yeah.
Out of Minneapolis. Obviously, there's a lot more, and... we'll probably be in touch with some of the guys in Michigan to talk about some of those and who's going to be where. I think Kevin Van Dam might be at some of those since he's not on the tour. That would be kind of fun to some people go out to see him out in Michigan. He's a Michigan native, so pretty cool there.
Big bass fisherman.
He's the GOAT.
Yeah.
Without question. And that, for those of you who don't know that, that is greatest of all time. I said, wow, that guy's a GOAT. And they're like,
why would you call him a GOAT?
Why did you do that?
Yeah. That's just, not very nice.
No, you're not a nice person. Not a nice person. But I'll tell you what, who is nice? Norwegian Seafood Company, Don. They're offering a bounty on its salmon after some 27,000 of them escaped the fish farm.
Where?
I said in Norway. Maui is the name, M-O-W-I. It's the world's largest producer of Atlantic salmon. Announced recently that about a quarter of its stock had escaped after a fence was damaged during a storm. So what they do is raise salmon in the ocean, and they have floats and to keep the nets up, and it really provides a great habitat for the fish. Well, big storm came up, damaged the holding nets. Fish are believed to be in the water off the coast of Troms, which is a city in northwest Norway. Norwegian media outlet VG reported earlier in the week. In an attempt to get the fish back, Maui is offering a reward of 500 kroner or $45 per fish that's caught by a registered fisherman and is brought to the designated center.
Wait a minute. Why would they pay that kind of money?
I don't know. Well, let's see what the story says. All escaped right. fish were ready to be harvested, he said, and they weigh about 12 pounds apiece. The average weight of an Atlantic salmon is between 8 and 12 pounds, according to the website for U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. A salmon researcher told VG that there are risks to the wild salmon population if the farmed fish are not recaptured. If the farmed salmon spawn with the wild salmon, the characteristics of the farmed salmon, increased size and growth rates, could change the wild salmon.
Okay.
That's according to Monica Solberg, researcher at Norway's Institute of Marine Research. And additionally, as the number of wild salmon has declined over time, it's extra important to keep farmed salmon and wild salmon populations separate, she said.
Didn't sound like they're in a very secure environment. It's kind of, it's kind of like they didn't think through the Asian carp thing either, for aquatic invasive species.
I don't know if we really ever talked about how that all happened.
Yeah, they had them in a pond. And
but, I mean, I don't think we have.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we have, but, when it flooded and overruns the pond, and guess what?
But, again, the reason that they were there was because they were in a tilapia-rearing ponds. They would grow tilapia commercially in the center part of the country. And what would happen was they didn't think that they were on the Mississippi River floodplain. Anyway, back up. To get the algae out, they would put these carp in there, which was illegal because those carp were invasives. They were not native.
Right.
And they would eat the algae, and all was good. And just up until, as you said,
we had a flood.
Whoopsie.
Yep.
And now we have a problem that costs billions of dollars to try and retain.
Control. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, again, if that population follows the river and goes up into Michigan, what does it do to the plankton?
The fishery up there.
It's the whole chain.
Right.
And in that particular case, you're looking at the zooplankton that the bait fish eat. Well, once that starts to collapse, then everything else goes with it.
The whole system.
Because they are voracious. And all they do is swim and eat, and you don't catch them because they don't eat bait. They just swim through and filter out, and
well, it's kind of like zebra mussels.
And they grow like mad. Mm-hmm. So again, $45 a salmon. Have you figured out what that would be?
That'd be kind of fun.
Oh my! Well, remember that we talked about that out west. They had, I think it was walleye that they had that they said, yeah, this would be. There were invasives. Then they had pike.
Oh, that was out in the Columbia?
In that area.
Yeah.
So if we're looking at, how many fish did I say it was? 27,000 of them. So if we look, this is on-air math, 27 times 44. 1,188,000 that they're paying out.
Wow, the odds of them getting all caught are pretty slim.
Right, it's in their realm to get as many of them caught as.
Keep in mind, these fish are being used to getting fed. Mm-hmm. So the idea of having to chase their prey
is not normal.
Not normal. So it's not going to be easy to hook up to them. So,
but
good luck in Norway.
What? How do they? What do they say over there?
Yeah.
That's going to be a challenge. Well.
Yeah, we messed that one up.
Lots of lutefisk there, Don.
No, a lot of salmon.
What it else sounded like a big on? No, a big no.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Story, I didn't even put it in here, Don. So it's going to surprise. I'm going to surprise you.
Perfect.
A lot of people from our area go out to Lake Erie.
Yep.
And fish.
Yeah.
And the ice is still hanging on off the Lake Erie Islands, which is not normal as far as that goes. I mean, they have some, but in the islands itself. Mainland ice is limited, but another Arctic blast from last week was going on. After missing a chance, they were trying to get over to, from taking ATV over to the Bass Islands. So if you're not familiar with it, there's a peninsula that comes up right by Port Clinton, and then that's basically Catawba. It's an island you cross over. You can drive to it. Then from getting from there to the Bass Islands, you have to actually go across the ice, which can be...
Not smart?
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, you can go over with there's a
airboat?
Barge. There's a car barge that can go over.
Okay.
But
do people live on those islands?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's kind of cool. They actually have a ship that they cut in the front end off of it, and they mounted it. It's on the east side of South Bass, or Put-In Bay, actually, and it's a freighter, an ore boat.
Yeah.
Front part of it is actually part of a built into the cabin.
Oh, you mean it's a living quarters?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
well, I think it was a restaurant at one point, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on it. And please, if you want to call in and let me know, that's some point.
Kelly Island's out there too, isn't it?
That's off further to the east.
East, yeah.
You got the big spire. There's an airport up at Put-In Bay and the whole nine yards. So one of the challenges there too comes up when you're dealing with running an ATV. If you get out there with an ATV, as in Red Lake, and the wind blows, you know what happens?
Things get slippery.
And then you don't, you're gone. It'll push away from shore.
Oh, the ice.
And then you have to
leave
everything. But the problem comes in if it's a storm comes in, which is one of the big things that happens out there. People follow their GPS. Oh, I'm good. You follow your GPS and it'll drive you right into the drink because separation off of shore, and that's how people have had
fatalities.
Issues.
Yep.
You know, this year, kind of cool. So many good walleye hatches in recent years. A wide range of sizes have been being seen as pre-spawn fish accumulate around the islands and migrate to the area. It's normally what happens this time of year. The number of trophy fish being reported, but as seasons progressed, many of the sub-legal length and barely keeper-sized fish have yielded more consistent older fish and now bigger fish. So that's pretty cool. Good catches are taken. They're vertically jigging, which is good. But the fun part about going out there, Don, you never know what kind of fish you're going to get. Now, the tough part is the ice right now. How thick do you think the ice is on Erie, on most of the areas?
I have no idea.
Just take a guess. Well, you know what it is here.
Say a foot.
10 inches.
Yeah.
10 inches deep, but it's honeycomb. And when you get honeycomb ice, how good is that?
It's not.
Not.
No.
So
that's why I don't go on it.
And that's one of the tough things about there too. But perch are going out there, everything is going on, but it's still holding ice and right around the islands with whether it's green or rattlesnake or west. All of them still have ice holding. But the problem is you got to be very careful. So anybody going out there, you got to be careful. Don't drive your truck or car or whatever it is out there and get stuck, because that goes down as being a bad thing.
I've seen too many videos.
We both have.
Yeah.
Green Bay was the last one. I think we might have mentioned that a while ago. They were rescuing people with the airboats.
Yeah.
I haven't heard much in our area, though.
As compared to some years?
Yeah.
No, we haven't had the flotilla go any.
No, and we...
And you, I mean, one year we had three of them, I think.
Well, yeah, because they all parked in that one spot. They made a parking lot. Do you remember that? And
yeah.
It was... What are you doing?
You know, somebody should always have the speakers. They should be the Gilligan's Island song playing.
Yeah.
If it's time to get off the ice, as soon as you hear the Gilligan's Island song playing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad.
That had to have been like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we have learned from that 5 years.
No, we haven't. No.
We have.
We have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't do it to begin with.
No.
No, that's just, it's, well, you remember when
this, I'm a soft water fisherman.
Do you remember when John Madden and they had the Super Bowl in Minnesota?
Yes.
And he drove up there with his bus and they parked it on the ice and a bunch of other stuff was on the ice and then the ice started to sink and they had to
start getting water on the surface?
Oh, it was going because they parked a bunch of other
vehicles
NBC
around
or CBS trailers out there.
Oh.
Smart.
Captain wired in, we got water coming in. It was not a good thing. So it was, how fast can you get these things off the ice?
Yeah.
So
the Minnesota Twins just had their caravan, their winter caravan.
Mm-hmm.
And they took some player from California out ice fishing because he had never gone before.
Where at?
I don't know. I would have to look it up. But he looked like he was genuinely enjoying himself.
Oh, yeah.
Having a good time out on the ice. And
once you overcome the... What am I doing standing out in the middle of a frozen lake?
Well, yeah. There's people that really do good at ice fishing.
They do well, yeah.
I mean, those that are, you consider pros at it, they go out and they're drilling holes.
Absolutely.
All over. They've got the mapping and you know, they're hitting the brake line and they're trying all these different holes and
Absolutely.
They're catching fish. Well, and then there's those that get in these little square little houses and drill four holes, drop the line down, get the card table out.
Well, then the guys that have the ice castle, they do it on a whole different level.
Right.
And
well, those are the really
move,
nice ones.
And they'll move to different spots. This year it's been good for them because they have
They don't move
ice.
Those that often.
Well, but they don't have any... The thing is, they don't have any reason that they can't move it this year.
Did we talk about this last week, about the houses on Lake Winnebago in Wisconsin, that they had a lot of wind...
They were sailing across the lake.
The
if they
fish houses. The guy was trying to catch this fish.
I saw
house.
That video.
And he goes, "This isn't good because it was good. It was in the wide open for a while,
and then it headed towards another shack.
Well, towards a whole little community.
Yeah.
Of them. And be darned if that thing didn't go right through the middle of them all without hitting. But he says, "Oh, this isn't going to be good.
Yeah, great.
And my question is, I wonder if anybody was in there.
Well, I would say the same thing, but I think. He was chasing it in his car.
Yeah, well, and they had, I mean,
you don't
and
really
there were Suburbans that were parked on the ice that were sliding sideways. The wind was blowing them. So, yeah, oh, that looked like so much fun.
Well, that's entertaining, Doc.
Yeah, well, it was. I watched it from my
It's called Bowling for
chair.
Ice Houses.
Yes.
Well, it's like the guy they're hooked up to, or they're in the ice house. It was a portable ice house, but you pull it behind the sled. And the guy's sitting in the sled, and the guy says, "Well, I'm going to go to town and get some beer." He doesn't disconnect the ice house.
Yeah, he just continues driving, and he's still in the back. We've talked about that before.
I love that. That was just funny as
hell. No, it was not.
It was, well, it is now because nobody got hurt.
Right.
Or at least too badly. story out of Michigan, another Michigan story. 34 CWD positive whitetails have been found in so far from the previous Michigan 24-25 season. I think they're still tabulating some scores as far as what's going on there. 307 deer have been tested positive for the fatal neurological disease since surveillance efforts started in 2002. 260 coming from deer tested and another 47 from hunter submissions in to other laboratories. And he said they're still wrapping up testing. Through mid-January, the department said they tested over 4,200 deer for CWD in 24-25 season, producing a total of 7 positives. And they have to admit, they're submitting, admitting samples directly to Michigan State University or University of Wisconsin. 27 positive samples that went straight to outside labs. 800 deer samples were tested. So it's still prevalent, Don. It's still out there.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how you're going to stop it either.
I don't know either.
I mean, it would just be good fortune because, I mean, you don't know which animals have it and which don't. And I think the only way to really check it is to check every animal. I mean, even in our area, it's only the first weekend, opening weekend, that they're tested. The rest of the seasons, you don't have an idea.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see how that goes, but good luck to the guys out in Michigan. Hope that we're going to get that taken care of. Wisconsin has a significant amount as well. So, anyway, well, that is a wrap for us. We are the Valley Outdoors. For Don, Abe, and myself, Eric, we are out. Hope you have a fantastic, safe, and awesome weekend because it's going to be beautiful outside this weekend. Enjoy it. Have fun. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.